Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our returning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of uncredibility. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We're all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct to the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. With those words, Charles Dickens opens his famous book, The Tale of Two Cities, a story about the period of time of the French Revolution. And as we hear those words today, in light of the gospel that we just heard, we can think of those words referring, I think, also to the last days. Because at Jesus' return, for some, it will be the best of times for the people who are followers of Jesus Christ. And for some, it will be the worst of times for those who reject him as their Savior. The very same event, but two very different realities. For some, it will be awful. Awful. Full of awe. And for some, it will just be plain awful. Yet Jesus doesn't speak of his return in the gospel reading today, but rather of the times and the events that precede it. He's sitting there opposite the temple, and the disciples are marveling at how great of structure it is, and he reminds them that it's not going to last forever. Matter of fact, in 70 AD, it will be destroyed. And so they ask him, well, how will we know when these things are about to happen? What will be the signs of all these things? And Jesus starts with a very important line. He says, make sure that no one leads you astray. Which infers what? That there will be those who are trying to get you to go in a different direction and to follow another person. He says, many will come in my name saying, I am he. And they will lead many astray. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is not going to come into the world again in the midst of a peaceful existence. We take and we hear today what? Wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed. They have to take place, he says. But it's not over yet. Nations will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms. So prevalent in our thoughts maybe today, as we see different countries and different kingdoms striving for power against each other. There will be famines. Just watch the commercials on TV for people looking for help. But then he says, but when you hear about all of that, it's just the beginning. So you be on your guard. So what do you have to look forward to as Christians? They will deliver you over to councils, to people in authority. You'll be beaten, he says, in the synagogues, but in the places of religious fervor. You'll stand before governors and kings for my sake and bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. Has that happened? Is there any corner of the world that disciples of Jesus have not been to? And we would have to say no. And then he says, and when they bring you to trial, not if, but when, and deliver you over, don't be anxious beforehand with what you're to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour. Because at that moment, it's not you who will be speaking, but rather the Holy Spirit through you. And then maybe one that's the most disturbing. Families will dissolve. Brothers will what? Deliver brother over to death. Father, his child and children rise against parents and put them to death. The world will become more important than family. Evil will rise against love. And what do you have to look forward to? You'll be hated by all for the sake of Jesus. A lot of words, but then Jesus ends with one word of hope. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is not the end, but rather a beginning. He says that we will be surrounded by, in other places in Scripture, they tell us by people who are false believers, people who say they are Christians but don't follow him. He warns us about false teachers as individuals and even entire churches. He tells us, I think, that we're going to see a growing division within our world. There's going to be a whole lot more of we and they. People who are serving God and people who are serving themselves. People who are following God and people who are opposing him and following Satan. There'll be those who love God, but there'll be also an increasing number of people who love the world. And as time goes on, what do we have to look forward to? The temptations are going to increase. The pressure to conform to the world is going to increase also. And for Christians, the persecutions are going to increase. And it'll be a world of war and famines and natural disasters, of pandemics, of evil, of violence, of insecurity and disease, of hatred and loneliness, and of the dissolution of society. Anybody here want to say, I just can't wait? It doesn't sound like the Christian life is going to get more easy, does it? Or any other life for that fact. But for some, something else much worse is coming than all of that. For those who don't believe and have faith in Jesus as their Savior, these awful days will become their good old days. For them, it will be the worst of times for all eternity. The day of Jesus' return will be for them an awful day, a day of judgment, with no one to stand in their stead and receive their sin. And it will be an awful day for us also, but not AWFUL, but rather AWEFULL. For we get to stand in awe of our Lord and Savior returning. For on that day, our best day on earth that we've ever had will become part of our worst days. Heaven will only be made up of better, best days. And they will last forever. As Christians, we live in that hope. We live in the hope of Christ will return. But what we see and what we see happening in the future is not the reality that will persist, but rather Christ will come. And on that day, we live in the hope of our resurrection, that thing which death had swallowed will come to life. But we live in the hope also of a united life in heaven, united to God, but also united to all those loved ones that have died in the faith who have gone before us. And all of these things that we wait for by faith will so outshine the darkness of our time that we can live in the peace and the joy that is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, now. And we live it by faith. My namesake, Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death. And as he was dying, he looked up into the heavens and he says he saw the heavens open and there was Christ. In that moment, in the midst of his worst tribulation, he wasn't alone. And the Holy Spirit gave him words and he bore witness to the one who was. And so Jesus also promised us today that kind of voice. The world seeks our destruction, but God sees it as giving us an opportunity. We saw that happen with Jesus. The world thought that by nailing Jesus to a cross, they could destroy him. But Jesus took that cross, and what did he do? He destroyed sin and the power of Satan. They thought they could do away with him by putting him in a tomb and sealing it up with a stone. But what did he do? He used that tomb to destroy death and its power over us. Scripture says what? That God works all things for the good of those who love him. So in these latter days, I think the real question is, God, how do I keep loving you? And it's getting tougher. I think it's getting a little harder every day. I think back to childhood, and somehow it seemed in the world here, it was a whole lot easier to be a Christian. And it's even going to get tougher tomorrow than it was today. The writer of the Hebrews tells us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That we're in a race, and as we run that race, we have to look towards where we're going, not where we've been. Jesus, as he ended the gospel reading today, he said what? Endure. Endure to the end. Endure. Overcome the trials and the temptations that confront you. And he says, and you know what? If you do, don't worry about it. You will be saved. So how do we endure to the end? How do we endure in the midst of such trying, difficult times? Well, he told us in the reading today that it would be the Holy Spirit that comes and fills us with his presence, that it will be his strength and his words that will fill out our life. And so, to love God, we take and we hold on to those things through which God sends us his Spirit. We strengthen our faith not by our own desires and abilities, but rather by God's Word. For through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and strengthens our faith. Today, as you receive the sacrament, the Holy Spirit will be at work, strengthening you for the time ahead. And I think we have to really look at this, the Word, and how important it has become in our world today to Christians. We're warned of the false teachers that arise, but how do we identify them? They may sound good to the ears. They may sound good to the flesh. But God says, test those spirits by the Word. And so in the midst of our weakness, God comes in strength. For with him, to endure is not impossible, because for him, nothing is impossible. But I think we have something else to do in these final days. It's not just about our own endurance, but it's also to go out and continue the mission of making disciples. Because we live in a world where it is the best of times and it is the worst of times. And which eternity do you want those around you to live in for eternity? The best of times or the worst of times? But again, this is the work of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that changes hearts. But he changes those hearts through the ministry that he's given to us as Christians. So he sends us out to love them, to love the people who are friends, but also to love the people who are enemies, to love the people who are strangers, and to love the people who are acquaintances, to not only love them in action, but also to truly love them by telling them about Jesus. In these last days, Jesus calls on us to run a marathon. It's a long race. But I think he's also telling us that as we run that marathon, that we reach out and grab a spectator along the way and invite them to join us in the race. Jesus, as he told the disciples these things, he talks about birth pains. And if you think about it, probably this will be mean more to women here than men. Think about those labor pains of a child coming into the world. They're not pleasant. But you're not looking there, are you? Looking down the road to the time that you can hold that child in your arms. I think that's kind of the birth pains that Jesus is talking about. That there will come a time when we won't remember the pains anymore. We'll just have the joy of the relationship. We'll have forgotten everything else that came before. I've also thought from the birth pains, I've used this analogy before, think about it from the child's perspective. You know, there in mom, everything seems so good, right? I'm going to stay here forever. This is wonderful. And then the contractions start. And push and push. Children enter this world for a reason, crying. But then they look around. And they go, look, there's something much better than where I was before. And that's, I think, what's going to happen when we see heaven. Boy, am I glad you pushed me here, Christ, and I didn't have to stay there. It's a tale of two cities. But for us as Christians, we reword the words of Dickens. It was the worst of times, but it will be the best of times in heaven. Until that day, endure, run the race, and Christ is with you in your journey. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.